All right, guys. Hi.
Hi, guys.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Jane.
And this is the Flick Chicks podcast.
Welcome back, or welcome if you're a first time listener.
So like true.
Every episode is someone's first episode.
That's so true. Wow. Wow. This is our first. I feel like this is our first time recording in literally forever because
yes.
2 weeks ago, I was gone in Greece and Italy, and we released a Patreon episode for you guys. And then last week, we didn't record at all because I was in the Netherlands and you were working on your senior thesis, so it was like we couldn't get it together.
Yeah, it was hard. It was a lot.
It's too much. Listen, this is a hobby, you know what I mean? Like, I like to be as consistent as possible, but ultimately school and jobs and stuff come first.
Do this for fun and to engage with people and
so true.
I'm so excited about our movie today. we're kind of taking a break from serious more dramas to something a little more fun.
Yeah, it's definitely fun.
It's a ride. We're doing the 1999.
Quite literally a ride.
It's quite literally a ride.
You can ride this. You can go on a ride. If you can make it.
I'm really excited.
Me too.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good. You should write that down. Keep that.
Okay.
Save that one for the podcast. I had never seen this movie, actually.
Really? This was like my favorite movie as a kid.
I can definitely see, because what is this? This is 1999, right?
Yeah,
1999. So, definitely, we would have been 1 year old when this came out.
Yep. Well, 2 years old, because I was born in 1997.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. 97.
Yeah. Ooh. So I was probably, by the time we had it on VHS, so I probably started watching it when I was around 4. So it was like my favorite movie. It was the only movie my dad and I could agree on to watch that we both liked because I really liked Evie and I thought that she was such a badass.
She is, to be fair.
She is, and I would like looked up to her so much that I like wanted to watch this empowering female movie and he was The Mummy.
One more point for librarians, you know what I mean?
It's so true. Although the opening scene with her is ridiculous.
Okay, every scene in this movie is ridiculous.
It's so good.
Every scene in this movie is so dumb. It's like, okay.
I love it.
Before we start, we have to fulfill on a couple Patreon things that we haven't filled on yet because we were late to, because we didn't record at the very first of November. So, we want to give a shout out to two of our patrons who have subscribed to the tiers that give you the benefit of shout outs on the podcast. So thank you to patron John G. Bode and then also Liam Kelly. Jack Bodie. Okay. It's John G. Bodie on here. I'm going by the name.
Yeah, that's his legal name.
Well, there you go. Aw. I think on Patreon you can make a nickname. I don't think anyone really has yet.
Maybe he's going by John now. I should probably ask.
I don't know. It also, I don't really know how it works. You may have to, like, specify that you want that. But if you guys don't know, we have a Patreon account where we, you have different tiers. In the lowest tier, you can just get access to all of our bonus content. But then on the higher tiers, you do get shout-outs on the podcast, free pieces of advice, super cool cards and stuff like that. So definitely, donate to that. And we want to thank all our patrons. You guys really help us, afford this podcast more.
And yes. We go to see more new movies.
And in fact, for our next Patreon episode, we're going to be doing the new movie Doctor Sleep.
We just did The Shining.
Yeah, so, which is, Dr. Sleep is the sequel to The Shining. So if you want to hear that, you'll have to donate to our Patreon in order to hear that. So, considering we literally just did The Shining, I know that I just saw it last night. I have, like, a ton of thoughts on it. Jane is seeing it tonight, so she's probably going to have a ton of thoughts on it. Definitely come to our Patreon for that. We also do a ton of other really cool, unique content that you can't get on here. So, yeah, go there. Go subscribe to our Patreon.
Little as $1, guys.
Little as $1. And then once we reach $100, we're going to do an episode like Blackout Drunk for you guys. So
yeah, it'll be wild. We're going to do a really confusing movie, too.
Yeah, so you gotta go.
Gotta do it.
But anyway, back to The Mummy, right?
Yes.
This movie's
starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Who I love both of them.
Yes. It's really quite the film.
It's quite the film. It is. This movie is just so ingrained in who I am as a person because I watched it so young and it made me really fascinated with Egyptology and I got like books on it after that.
Oh my gosh. So,
I know. It's like when I saw The Crucible and I got super into Salem Witch Trials.
Oh my god.
I just get super into things.
Egyptology. I never was into that. I was into the Greek mythology.
I never read the Percy Jackson books.
You never read the Percy Jackson books?
No.
Jane.
I'm supposed to read them now?
They're a cultural phenomenon. Yes, you're supposed to read them now. I don't know if they're still good, but I could probably reread one. It probably won't take you very long. They're short-ish.
Yeah, that's true. They're like middle school reading level.
Exactly. I remember them being good.
I'm sure I could read it in a day. It's like...
Yeah, at least one of the books you could probably read in a day. I think there's only like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
And then there's like a spin-off series that I didn't read because at that point we were hitting too many books.
Yeah. I was super into the Warrior Cat books. Like super into them. But that was my series. And Harry Potter.
Jane, I can't believe you read Harry Potter but you didn't read Percy Jackson. Did you even see the movie?
I think wizards are cooler than the Greek gods.
Okay, did you read Percy Jackson? No, come on. Have you? Did you see the movie?
You can't know if you're into it unless you read Percy Jackson.
The Lightning Thief? Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't great.
No, it's not good, but that's where Logan Lerman came from. And he's really hot.
He is really hot, and he gave his perks of being a wallflower.
Which gave us Ezra Miller.
It's true.
Like... We owe so much to the Percy Jackson books.
Rick Riordan, you gave us this.
It's true. And they made the second Percy Jackson film, like, because the first one was so bad, they were like, okay, we'll try a second one, but we're still gonna not make it anything like the book, which was why people didn't like the first one. And then it was just as bad, and they never even finished the series. I was willing to sit through the movies because I was so in love with Logan Lerman.
He is so cute. I remember...
Right?
I remember them playing Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Yes, in the casino.
In the casino scene. And I remember getting, like, turned to that, like, as, like, a kid.
That's right.
Like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
That's
ooh.
Right. And he was cute. We liked him. And, like, you know, it's, like, one of those films, you know it's not good, but you also know that the main character just makes everything worth it.
That's kind of how I feel about this movie that we're talking about now. I really like Brendan Fraser because I really like Looney Tunes back in action.
Oh my
also,
god.
I really, especially after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I really respect stuntmen.
Yeah.
And Brendan Fraser, you know, is a really good, talented stuntman.
Yeah. I don't like Brendan Fraser's voice.
You don't?
I think it's too deep.
Who's to say?
Me. And it feels almost fake. It's so deep that I felt like he was doing a voice.
Well, you know, the mummy is like, being the hero of the mummy is kind of a lot to live up to.
Yeah, I don't know if it means you need a baritone voice to do it. It's just so deep. It's like, every time he talked, I was like, oh, this guy.
The movie also stars John Hannah as the comic relief. Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. We are not a comic relief in this movie.
What?
I said, this movie does not need a comic relief. The whole movie is comic relief.
It's so good, though. So, this movie is about a mummy
coming to life.
I was
to give you the
curious.
To give you the bare bones of this film.
I wanted to see how you would complete that sentence. That's why I paused. I was like, let's see what she really is.
It comes to life. Well, it's like a guy whose name I can't pronounce. It's like
Imhotep.
Imhotep. He falls in love with this lady who he's not supposed to fall in love with. It's like the Pharaoh's wife. They're having an affair. Pharaoh finds out and buries him alive and lets him get eaten by locusts in the process.
They're scarabs, actually.
They're scarabs. They eat him.
They're like, they burrow into your skin and there's like this terrible CGI.
It's really not the best CGI. My very first note is this green screen / CGI, holy shit.
They also, they filmed this in Morocco, so all the sets are real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And yet they look so not real.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the sky fake? Like?
The sky, maybe.
Because it just doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
Or the buildings, maybe?
Yeah, I think the buildings are all real. I think they built the set in Morocco.
Wow. And somehow it doesn't look real. How can you do practical effects and they still look like bad CGI? Also, I watched this illegally, and I couldn't tell if there were supposed to be subtitles in the beginning when they were all speaking Egyptian.
Yes.
Because there are. There are supposed to be subtitles?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I had no subtitles.
No, you missed the entire...
Well, I mean, I kind of got
That's
what was
so
going
important.
On.
That's such an important part of the story. How did you miss them?
I thought...
Allison, that is... No wonder you didn't like this movie.
I did not like it. But I mean, I kind of got what was happening, right? Like, he likes the girl. Because there's the narrator, right? The narrator's there.
Yeah.
And so then the king or whatever, the Pharaoh, finds out and she kills herself, yeah? He runs away.
Yes, kills herself because my body is no longer your temple, and she kills herself.
Okay, I kind of just thought she was like, fuck you, and then she killed herself. So I'm getting the gist, you see, and then...
Yes.
Their acting transcends language. And so then... he tries to resurrect her, but he gets stopped in the middle of the ritual so she does not resurrect. And then they kill all the priests by burying them alive. But then
the gold guys.
Yeah, or they mummify them while they're alive or something like that. And then they bury him alive with the scarabs and
they eat him alive slowly.
But they like put a curse on him or something, right? Because they did something so that he would like suffer and he wouldn't be able to go to like the afterlife. But by doing that, they had to like also make it possible for him to be resurrected.
Yeah, make it possible for him to be resurrected, and then whenever if he was ever resurrected, then he would, like, bring all of the plagues.
The plagues of Egypt. Yeah, because she talks about that later. So,
yeah.
I didn't know what was happening initially, but I got the gist. I just was like, because sometimes, you know, in movies, when they speak in different languages, if it's small enough and you can kind of tell what's going on, they don't put subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the movie, I had subtitles, like when people were speaking Egyptian.
That's
and
so
there were subtitles.
Weird.
I would have subtitles.
Didn't at the beginning.
But there were no subtitles for the entire beginning sequence. And I thought that was weird, but I thought, maybe I'm not supposed to have them. And so...
Yes, you
I guess
were definitely
I,
supposed
I
to have them.
I was.
That is so
Whoops.
Funny.
Also, doesn't this like take place in the 1920s or something?
So, the initial scene takes place in 1927. And then... like with Rick out in the desert, that type of stuff. So that starts in about 1927, and then 3 years pass with him in jail, basically. And then we switch to Evie, and so it would be 1930. Yeah.
That's supposed to be the 1930s. First of all, she's dressed like a Victorian girl. She looks like Cosette from Les Mis.
I disagree. I think she looks
her
like
hair.
I think she looks like a female scholar in the 1930s, and I will stand by that.
Her hair looks like Cosette's hair from Les Mis, and the nightgowns she wears are the nightgowns
okay,
Cosette
the nightgown,
wears.
The nightgown, I'll give that to you. But
she's in the nightgown a lot.
she strikes me as like a very old fashioned gal.
1800s.
Yes.
He
that wasn't
looks like
too
he's
far
from,
away. That's
he
like
looks
me
like
dressing
he's from
in the
1970s. This time period is all over the place. I didn't even know it was from the 1920s, 30s until I was like looking at reviews and someone was like, this was set in 1927. And I was like, it was?
When did you think it was set?
I don't know, I just kind of thought it was the 90s.
Wild.
Their, nothing really about their appearance gave a time period.
Yeah, especially Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser has a very modern, like, just
hair.
Aura of hair and, like, his face.
Aura. Everything
aura about
him feels very modern. Also, it's like Egypt, and that's just how I think archaeologists dress. I don't know if that's true, but in my head, I always think that's how archaeologists dress. To be, like, just everyone. Like, the way everyone is dressed, it's like, they're dressed like archaeologists. I feel like that's how all archaeologists always dress in every movie.
I mean,
also,
yeah.
What is, I guess, like... They kind of remind me of Atlantis, which I think is set in, like, the 30s or 40s. And then, when is Indiana Jones set? Like, the same time? 40s?
Maybe. 1 second.
I was like, because the fashion reminded me of those movies, and I feel like Indiana Jones might be set in, like, the 1940s.
1936.
Okay. And then, when is Atlantis set? I feel like the 30s or 40s.
The 30s, I think.
Okay, well, maybe they are accurate for archaeologists in the 1930s because
1914 is when Atlantis was set.
Oh, jeez. Wow. That's a very modern-feeling movie as well. I guess,
yeah.
Of all the movies I've seen of 1900s archaeologists, that is how they all dress.
Yeah, and I think that Evie is, like, she's breaking the glass ceiling, honestly, in, like, the scholarly world of Egyptology. So,
true.
I think that it would, like, she's very good at being, like, kind of modern and, like, more, like, old-timey at the same time, I think.
I mean,
like, she's a classic heroine.
Very damsel in distress. Save the girl, stop the evil, save the world, or whatever that quote is.
But she's very smart.
Yeah, she is. What did I... I said they're horrible archaeologists.
They're not archaeologists, though. She's an Egyptologist. I actually don't know what... Maybe Jonathan is an archaeologist. I'm really not sure.
Those Americans are for sure. And then her brother, I think
they're treasure hunters. I don't think they're archaeologists.
Oh, well, that's so... I feel like even if you were an Egyptologist, what the fuck? You're just coming in here and stealing shit and touching it and... Who the fuck? Okay, if you were an Egyptologist and you found a crypt with a mummy in it, you would not open that damn thing up in there?
Yeah, yeah. I never had good judgment. I never said.
You would take that shit to a lab where you could open that without fear of, like, disintegrating whatever was inside. Because if that thing was 3,000 years old like they thought it was, which it was, but, okay, the mummy, obviously special circumstances, but that bitch would have just gone with the wind.
But also, like, she's just a librarian.
This bitch can read hieroglyphs, and you're telling me she can't figure out basic decomposition?
That's fair. But, if like, I the know thing this, about it, the thing about it is that it's not typical decomposition, because the way the bugs ate him, it changed the decomposition process.
But she doesn't know that before she opens it.
Yeah, exactly. You have to open it to find out.
Yeah, but you wouldn't open it there. You'd open it somewhere because, okay, here's the thing. If I go into a crypt, I'm an Egyptologist. I see this crypt with this thing. I'm thinking that is 3,000 years old. Probably someone's in there, right? I'm not going to open that in here for fear of damaging what's in there. So I'm going to take it, and I'm going to take it to a place like a temperature-controlled room where I have the necessary equipment to open it without damaging any contents. She just fucking, like, takes a crowbar and pries it open.
Yeah.
And if I did that, and there was a 3,000-year-old mummy in there, and I just opened that in this damn tomb, that thing would just disintegrate. And it would be like, what was the point? Yeah. Everything I fought for is gone.
She doesn't make good judgment. I mean, she reads from the Book of the Dead when it's, like, specifically, like, don't read from this book. Have you seen the meme where it's like the couple and the guy's looking back at the hot girl and it's like reading the Book of the Dead and then it's like Evelyn. She's like looking back like, ooh.
I haven't seen that one, but I can picture it.
Yes, it's very
funny. My God. It reminds me of in Cabin in the Woods when he's like, okay, I'm drawing a fucking line in the sand. Do not read the Latin.
That's what Rick is like the entire time. He's like, I'm drawing.
Okay, I'm drawing a fucking. And that guy that's like, don't do it. It's too late. She already did it, bitch.
So basically, what happens is that Evie and Rick meet. He's like, I can take you to Homenoptera, which is the place that they find this map and this key, basically. And it's, like, the map to Homenoptera, the lost city. And it's supposed to be, like, filled with gold. And he says, I can take you there because I was there with my battalion. And then he kisses her, and then she saves him from being hanged. And
also,
then
they go... Why exactly was he there? Like, he...
It was not clear.
He was the only white person amongst a bunch of Egyptians.
Yeah, I don't really know why he was there. It's not clear.
From the very beginning, I was like, is Brendan Fraser supposed to be Egyptian in this movie? I was like, is Brendan Fraser supposed to be Egyptian in this movie?
No, he's strictly American.
Yeah, and they mention that later that he is American, but they never say why he was in Egypt with all those other people. It's never clear. All right.
Not even in the other movies.
All right.
I think we're just supposed to establish him as a badass. I think that's what that's for.
Okay.
So then they take the warden with them because that's part of the deal. But they start to go to Homenoptera. And then they get on this boat. And then this group of men attack the boat. Because they have the key and they have the map and they don't want them to go. They don't want them to get to.
True that.
And then there's like hijinks ensue on the boat.
There's fires. There's romance.
There's guys throwing each other off the boat.
So true. All of it.
It's great. It's a really fun
scene. She's in her 1800s nightgown with her hair down.
It's true. She's beautiful.
She's reading by candlelight in her wooden ship.
You just can't get over it, can you?
What the fuck is... When is this movie set?
So they escape, And okay. then they start, like, the land trek to Hominoptera. They get camels, and they meet these guys, these Americans. They met them on the boat. And basically, they have this deal that the first one to Hominoptera gets $500.
Yeah. And then, also, one of the guys, I think his name's Benny.
Benny, yes. Okay, little Hungarian guy, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a... He was at... he was in Hominoptera with... Brendan Fraser's character, Rick. By the way, what a name. Rick. And they...
Rick O'Connell?
Yeah. And he abandons him during, like, a siege.
Yeah.
So, they're not buddies.
No, they have history, but they're not buddies. And so, he's leading the Americans, Tom and Arthur. He's their guide. And so, then, the Americans and... Evie, Jonathan, and Rick, and the warden all have the race to Hominoptera, and Evie wins, and so they win the bet, and then they get to pick their dig site.
Yeah, but they fight over a dig site, basically.
But then Evie realizes that the map says that the legs of Anubis is where you can find, like, the treasure or whatever. And so she's looking there, but then she sees that the legs of Anubis go lower than what they think, and so she's like, no, we can dig somewhere else.
Yeah, so they go beneath.
This is after she hardcore flirts with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah, which, by the way, at the beginning, she's like, ugh, gross. And then he kisses her by force. And she's like, he's disgusting. But then he cuts his hair, and she's like, oh, wait, he's hot.
I mean, he is hot.
He is. He is. No doubt. But also, he forcibly kissed you.
It's true.
In the 1930s.
True. But she was kind of into it. She was mad at him because she was like, why did you kiss me? And he was like, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And she was like, ugh.
It was. And then they flirt. It's pretty immediate. Like, basically, as soon as he gets his hair cut, he sees her, she sees him. It's like, all right, we know what's going to happen here.
Yeah, they're like, you're and hot, they become, you're hot.
They become weirdly protective of each other despite really never having a conversation.
Yeah. Yep. So then they do the dig site and they find a big gooey mummy.
Yep. Yummy.
And then the Americans find these Panoptic jars that, like, all the organs go into during mummification. Mm-hmm. And basically they have a curse set upon them by the mummy, by Imhotep, where he comes around and takes their organs as he's rejuvenating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, whoever found the book or whatever are the ones that get killed.
Yeah. And then they find the Book of the Dead, the Americans do, and then Evie decides to steal it and read from the book, which is not a good idea.
Out loud, and too. It's out loud. It's why ever read it out loud, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then that brings the mummy to life. And, you know, the story just picks up from there.
Mummy tries to kill people. They try to kill mummy.
Yep. And the mummy can't be killed by any mortal weapons.
Yeah, you have to, like, kill him with the Book of Life or whatever.
Yeah. And so Imhotep basically is trying to rejuvenate himself so he can be fully, like, human, not just like a mummy. And then he's going to try to bring back Anoxonomus.
Yeah, who he's going to use Evie's body to do.
Yeah, he's going to use Evie's body to host Anoxonomus.
Yeah.
So basically, he, like, kidnaps Evie, and then it's, like, Rick and Jonathan trying to get her back. And then, in the end, they do.
Yep. And they defeat the mummy by getting the Book of Life. Some people die. All the Americans die.
The warden dies.
I think in the end, it's her, Rick, and Jonathan.
Yeah, it's just the three of them. And also that one guy who's like, ugh, white people.
Yeah, like, the guy that's like in charge of the secret society that wasn't supposed to let the mummy come back.
The Magi.
Didn't do a good job. I also like at the end, he's like, we owe you guys a debt we can never repay. And I'm like, they're the people that brought the fucking mummy back. I think they just repaid their own debt. They repaid their debt that they owed you.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. Yeah. What else did I say? I said, I hate the way they kiss at the end. And then I said, bruv, that mouth just kissed a mummy.
That's so true. Like, the mummy kissed her.
Yeah, a couple times.
She kissed the mummy to distract him.
Exactly. So, you're about to kiss that mouth? Alright. Yeah. In that weird, weird way that you kissed. I just hate their relationship. Like, it's so... I know you want it to happen, but there's, like, it's built on nothing.
Yeah, they don't really... The only common interest they have is defeating the mummy.
They literally never talk.
And I guess they have some chemistry. Like, I guess they have, like, that, ooh, I kind of hate you, but, like, I definitely want to fuck you.
Yeah, but they, like, never even talk at all.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
they,
it was,
like,
I guess,
that
in
one
the 1930s, how much of relationships were really built on, like, conversation.
I guess that's true. That's true. They're hot. I guess it works out.
A lot of people, a couple up together in the 30s, not much conversation.
It's true.
There is more conversation between them in the second movie because they have a kid.
Aww. They're married?
Yeah, they get married. And the Mummy Returns is not a bad movie. It's not bad at all. And it's just a continuation of the story. Then the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which is the third one, is terrible.
How did the Mummy return? I can't remember.
I think it was, like, it has something to do with the Scorpion King, who was played by The Rock.
I love The Rock.
I know you do. The Rock is in it, and he is shirtless, and he has the body of a scorpion.
Ah! I love The Rock! Alright, I'm sold. I'm gonna watch it now. I don't really care about this movie that much, but... The Rock, baby.
Yep.
I mean, I'm glad I've seen it, because now I can be in on all the pop culture references from the 90s that I haven't been able to be in.
Yeah, it's a pretty iconic movie for a lot of people. I think that a lot of people growing up in the early 2000s watched it as a kid on VHS.
Yeah.
I think that from people who I've talked to who really like this movie, they've always watched it as a kid. It's very, like, something that both kids and adults can watch.
Mm-hmm. It's a very action-adventure family flick, you know?
It is. It's very much like, I mean, Brendan Fraser is the king of that. I mean, Journey to the Center of the Earth with Josh Hutcherson.
True. Freaking love Journey to the Center of the Earth.
You like Journey to the Center of the Earth, but you're just with the mummy?
So I saw Journey to the Center of the Earth at, like, you know, 8.
Yeah, that's fair.
I saw
and then,
this
like,
at
Josh 21. Hutcherson was so cute.
Exactly. It's because I love Josh Hutcherson. To be real, I didn't like him in The Hunger Games, but that's not his fault. I just don't like PETA.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't like his character either.
I think PETA is so dumb, and the fact... I think... Okay, hold on. Hunger Games spoilers, everyone, if you haven't read the books. or seen the movies, which came out a billion years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty sure the only reason... Gale kills Primrose is because that's the only way anyone would accept her being with PETA. Because her and PETA have nothing in common. He's such a sniveling wimp. And the only reason she gets with him is because Gale kills Primrose.
Yeah, and you're a baker's son and you're named after a bread, so...
That's so stupid! PETA,
I will name
really?
Him after the one love of my life.
PETA. I hate it. I hate it. It's so stupid. It's like, what? Okay. Like, I hate it. And then he never gets better, really. He never really does anything. Like,
and then they
he's
have
just,
kids. It's like, what?
He's just stable. I mean, it's night. He's like stable and like that's good. And Gale's a little less stable. But, like, let's be honest. Like, Gale and and Katniss have way more chemistry. They're way hotter together. They have a history. Gale loves her family. And it's like, what, he just snaps and kills Primrose? Why? Oh, because she's supposed to end up with Gale, or because she's supposed to end up with Peeta, but everyone loves Gale, right? So we gotta do something to make Gale unforgivable, basically.
Yeah.
It's basically like, okay, well, she can't be with him now because he killed her sister, but also it's like, come on. Really?
Yeah,
it's definitely a cop-out. It's like, instead of just writing a better romance for her and Peeta, you just made Gale unlovable. And in the very last book, that big monologue she has about, like, why she chooses Peeta, where she's like, Gale was fire and I'm fire and Peeta's not. And I was like, well, that's not good. What's the fun? That's not what I wanted to read at 13.
So,
I wanted to read about passionate love.
It's true.
Not stability.
So what did you think of the mummy?
Thought it was a romp and a smash, but I don't know how good it is. I mean, it's silly. It's a very silly 90s movie.
I think it's wonderful, and I will defend this movie. This was my entire childhood, and it really, really definitely molded me as a person. And I think that I would credit this as one of the most influential films of my life.
Oh my god.
I would, truly.
One of the most influential films of my life. I gotta be honest. I feel like it's fine. Like, it's a fun movie. It was fun to watch. It's a good popcorn film. I also want to say, I think the ride is probably very sweet. Can't wait to ride it. But I don't think this influenced film, you know?
You know, I think that a movie can also be defined in its value by the effect that it has on its viewers.
That's true. I mean, if you're a kid, it's like, it's kind of like the original Spider-Mans, you know? Like, they're not good, but I like them. Like,
yeah.
They're not good. I know they're not good movies, but I enjoyed them, and they were a part of my childhood. But I also recognize that they weren't good films. I don't think this is a good film, but I think it's a fun film. I think it was probably really, really fun when you're a kid.
Fun when you're a kid.
It's not too scary, but it's like pretty exciting. It's not too deep.
It's definitely just like an adventure story.
It is. It's like worse Indiana Jones, you know? With a mummy that comes to life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and also, I think we can both agree that it's better than the Tom Cruise version.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone knows that. I don't like to see Tom Cruise's eyes. And Brendan Fraser, as much as I don't like Brendan Fraser's voice, he doesn't have crazy eyes.
He doesn't. He has human eyes, you would say, not crab person eyes.
Yeah, yes. Tom Cruise is a crab person, right? Oh, my God. The other day in my class, we were talking about Tom Cruise, and someone was like, we were talking about, like, stardom, and they were talking about Tom Cruise as, like, a star, and they were like, because people, like, when you're a star, people don't want to know too much about you, like, they want to know just enough about you, because if people know too much, you just become, like, a celebrity, and there's a lot of celebrities, but there's not a lot of stars, and she said Tom Cruise was a star, and she was like, because people don't know that much about him, right? Like, he's kind of mysterious, he's weird, like, he does weird off-the-cuff stuff, and I was like, I know why he's weird and crazy. And I was like sitting there and I was like,
I know exactly.
I was like, I know everything about Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is a star, but in his own way. I was like,
he's like a pop culture icon.
He is. He's an icon. And I was like, I was thinking about it. And then I like leaned over to one of my friends in the class and I was like, that man tried to sell his children into childhood slavery, basically. And he was like, what? And I was like, I don't have time to explain,
Someone needs to know.
I was like, I don't have time to explain all that goes into him trying to sell his children, but what you should know is that he did try to do it. And we were watching this one with him and Oprah, where he just, like, kept not saying anything and, like, falling on the ground and being like, yes, yes, and everyone was, like, laughing and cheering. And then he was just, like, up on the couch jumping, and she was like, ha-ha, and I was like, And then I was thinking about that interview where he does that laugh, the, you know,
it's
the
like,
laugh.
This is, yeah, and he doesn't stop, and you're, I have had to watch so many videos of Tom Cruise just being crazy for my Cults in the U.S. class. Just, like,
that's
so
what
many.
I kept thinking. That's
this
what I just
man
kept thinking
is
about.
The face of Scientology. They chose him to be
I know,
the face
and also, okay,
of Scientology.
Also, like, no one here really knows about Scientology because it's more of like a Hollywood religion, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely an American religion.
So nobody here really knows about Scientology, and I can't explain it to them. I'm like, I don't know how to, like, I can take you through it, but it's such a phenomenon, like, you wouldn't understand, like,
it. You'd have to be, like, steeped in it in your culture.
Exactly.
It.
It's like, it's. I can explain it to you, but the fact that Tom Cruise, like, is a Scientologist is just, like, you can't really understand the gravity of that.
Yeah, it means a lot.
It means a lot.
Ooh.
Isn't Jerry Seinfeld a Scientologist, or was he?
I think he might have been at one time, but he's not anymore.
Okay.
But he hasn't really talked about it. I think he dabbled. I think a lot of celebrities dabbled. And just, and then I mean, they got to, and then, because a lot of people got to the point where, like, they explained Xenu and, like, the actual theology of the organization, and I think they were like, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice religion if you're, like, obsessed with yourself, you know? Because the idea that you're a god and just forgot that you were a god, it's not, it feels good if you're, like, hell yeah, I'm a god. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also like, all right, don't be fucking crazy. You're not a god. You're Tom Cruise.
You're just Tom Cruise. You were in...
Just Tom Cruise. You're 5 foot. You're not a god.
Yeah, you must be this tall to be a god.
You know what? Maybe Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a god, but you're not a god, Tom Cruise. Does that mean Kevin Hart's a god? No.
I will say his best role is Tropic Thunder.
I don't accept it. That's what I want to say. If I ever met Tom Cruise, I'd go, Tom Cruise, look at yourself. You're not a god.
Just look at yourself.
Just go look in the... Take a really long, hard look in that mirror and come back and tell me, do you think this is what God is?
Is this what... Is this the image that you conjured up in your head?
You think this created the universe? Look at yourself. Come back to me after you ruminate on that.
So good. So good.
Oh.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about... Well, I guess first we should rate the movie.
Oh, yeah.
What would you give it?
A 6 out of 10.
8 out of 10. I freaking love it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fun.
I'll accept your
it's
rating.
It's fun, it's adventurous, it's exciting.
I'll accept your rating. Most of the ratings on IMDb were like an 8.
It's fun!
There were like a few that were 10s, and then there was really no like middle ones. Most of them were either like 8 to 10 or like 0.
Like, it's... I mean, I think that you just kind of have to let yourself get into it.
Yeah, don't go in with your hopes too high, you know what I mean?
Just
it's a
like,
90s movie.
Just live in the moment.
Just live in the moment. Oh.
Don't think too much about it.
Yeah, don't ask too many questions. Except every time... I'm thankful that Rick doesn't speak that much.
He's a quiet type.
I'm glad, because I really don't like his voice. It just... Everything he says feels like a one-liner, and I hate that. I hate when everything is a one-liner. It's so
annoying. I think that's
annoying.
very much like an adventure story hero type thing.
I know, but I hate it. I hate that. It's the worst writing. It's like, how can I think of the most cliche fucking things and just put them all in a script? I have an IMDb review, too.
Yay. Tell me about it.
All right. Let me use my photos here. 2 out of 10. Cringe-worthy Indiana Jones ripoff. The Mummy is an embarrassing slapstick-style ripoff of the Indiana Jones movies. It's not funny, though it thinks it is. Yes, it is. It's not exciting.
It's funny. It's funny. Okay.
It's if it's anything, it's funny. It's not dramatic. It's just willfully stupid. I'd summarize the plot for you, except that this would only serve to dignify the film by suggesting it actually has a story and characters. In fact, there are only cliches and cringeworthy stereotypes, and to make matters worse, the filmmakers actually seem to glory in their total lack of originality or imagination. Every scene is presented with a condescendingly postmodern nudge-nudge-wink-wink, you've-seen-this-one-before-haven't-you kind of attitude, as though by gaining audience recognition of the cliches and stereotypes, this will somehow make them clever. Allegedly, the action occurs in the 1920s, but actually, the film scarcely even pretends to take its period setting seriously. This is not simply a matter of historical inaccuracies. The original Indiana Jones movies had plenty of those, not least in Raiders of the Lost Ark, the mystery as to what the heck half of the German army was doing in British-occupied Egypt circa 1936. Yet despite such absurdities, these movies were still careful to recreate a period setting that did, however tenuously, ground them in some semblance of reality. The Mummy, in contrast, is set in an unreal fantasy land, completely divorced from any actual time or place. Just about everything is computer-generated, and it shows. I'm sure I cannot be the only one who regards CGI as Emperor's new clothes. Fair enough, it can be genuinely effective when used subtly to enhance footage that has been shot in actual sets or locations, but once you start using it to create whole worlds, it winds up making everything look like a video game. Call me old-fashioned, but I always thought that the whole point of good special effects was that they should be seen and not noticed. If people come out of a movie commenting on how amazing the CGI effects were, then self-evidently they weren't amazing at all. They were rubbish because everyone was aware of them. In the case of The Mummy, the phoniness of the CGI only exacerbates the phoniness of the script. As for the acting, it was generally pretty bad. Although given the script, that was hardly surprising. The only character who stood out at all was John Hannah's, and that was for entirely negative reasons.
He's funny.
I don't. It's so bad. I don't usually mind Hannah, but here his character approaches Jar Jar Binks' levels of obnoxiousness.
That's so brutal.
Frankly, that is unfair. I just wanted.
I think that is unfair.
I like Jar Jar Binks. I loved him when I was a kid. Frankly, I just wanted to punch his face every time he appeared on screen. Meanwhile, Rachel Weisz looks gorgeous as ever, but that was woefully insufficient compensation for 2 hours of crass, cynical drivel passing itself off as entertainment. And
that's a brutal review.
It was. I think most of that is true, but I thought it was funny, so it was all okay.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of campy.
It is very campy.
It's fun. It's fun. It's a good time.
I enjoy camp.
Yeah, me too. I love Pet Sematary. You know.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
Oh, don't go down that road.
All right. Well, that's The Mummy, 1999.
Oh boy. Dr. Sleep on our Patreon this week, buddy.
Dr. Sleep, you guys. Go see it this weekend. Listen to our Patreon episode on Wednesday.
Heck yes. You have to see it, right? It's the sequel to The Shining. You have to see it.
Yeah, so, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you like The Shining.
Exactly. So you got to see it. And come on. It's got Ewan McGregor. Everyone likes him. So go see it. And then pay us money to listen to our episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple,
easy, effective. See it, say it, sorted. And it's going to be good. I have so much to say about it. Like, I'm dying. I cannot wait to record. And Jane hasn't even seen it.
Yes, I'm seeing it tonight. I'm very excited.
I wanted to see it so bad. It's crazy. You have to. I can't wait to do this review. I'm so excited.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Definitely, please go see it. Please give us, it's like $1 a month. It's literally nothing.
Yeah, it's, and you get, like, more podcasts, you know? That's more content.
Yeah, there's, you get not only access to episodes from here on out, you get all the access to all the episodes. As well as, like, if you, you can get shout-outs on the podcast. Even on our top tier, you get to watch a movie with us.
Yeah, yeah, you get to just, like, you know, either if you live in Joplin, you know, hang out.
Or and you get to Skype in.
Yeah, so.
It's like, come on. Great. Exactly.
And
so,
if you want your movie selection to be moved to the top of the list, you can also have a tier for that. That's like the $5 tier, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you get priority listener pick at the $5 tier and above. So, and the $5 tier gets you quite a bit. So for just an extra $4, you can have all that extra stuff, including shoutouts on this podcast. And really, you can set your nickname as whatever you want, because I'm going to say what it is, no matter what you put on there. So, you know, I don't know. Consider that.
Consider our Patreon.
Also, consider, right now, we have essentially enough money that Jane and I can go see one new movie a month. The more money you give us, the more new movies we can see.
Yes. Yes.
Right very now, we've excited. Got, you know what I mean? So, and also, like, I know, like, the audio has been kind of weird because we're recording, like, two different places, and this microphone that I'm recording with is not as good as our microphone that we normally use. Mm-hmm. So, once we get enough money, I can get a new microphone, and we'll have to record with this one.
And it'll sound better.
And then our audio will be back to normal before I moved here.
Yep.
So, it's like, there's so many benefits for not only us, but for you. So please donate to our Patreon. We're not making money off this podcast. Don't worry. We're putting money into this podcast.
Everything that you're donating is going right back into the podcast.
Exactly. We're not profiting off the podcast.
We do this for you, and we do it for fun.
Exactly. We're sustaining this podcast on your money. So if you like listening to this podcast, which I know there's quite a few of you that listen, so definitely not all of you are donating money, or we would be making money off this podcast. but seriously, it really does help. And also, please follow us on social media. We post on there fairly regularly to get your guys' opinions on movies, like what movies we should do, what movies we shouldn't do. If you could leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, that really helps. We've been stuck at like 19 for a while now, and it's really bothering me. I would at least like to get to 20.
Yeah, so even if just one more of you can comment, give us a review exactly. on iTunes, it'd be really big help.
Exactly. It literally takes 2 minutes. It helps a lot. There are some other podcasts with similar names to ours, and we're trying to beat them. So if you could give us a review,
because we're competitive.
We're competitive. And
we like
I don't
to be
like
the best
that,
at what we do.
I don't like that anybody has a name even close to ours, even though it took us 10 minutes to come up with this name.
Yeah.
So please, I've been rambling about what you guys should do for a long time. Anyway, we'll see you next week. What are we going to do next week?
I'm not sure yet. We might put out a poll.
Yeah, we'll put it on the... We're trying to give you guys advance notice now, because
so you guys can watch the movies.
So you guys can actually watch the movies and, like, listen to this podcast. So we're trying to give you guys advance notice, so we'll put it out once we know what it's going to be.
Yep.
Anyway, I think that's it.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.